Merry Christmas to you all. I'm glad you're able to come and share in our time this morning as we celebrate. I must admit, it reminded me that I used to work in a shop, in a retail store, and when you start Christmas at the end of October with Christmas songs, it doesn't seem quite the same, I have to say. And we worked all, I don't know what your situation is, Alan, with working at Tesco's, but on Christmas Eve, you had this excitement of finishing slightly earlier, not to go home earlier, it's actually to set up for the sale. So we didn't actually go home on Christmas Eve from about 6:30 till 7 o'clock. So actually, when it got to Christmas Day, it was like, yes, it's Christmas Day, because it actually meant something special. Having had 2 months or 2.5 months of Christmas songs, you begin to sort of lose the plot and lose the will to live. And so actually, I think Christmas Day is really quite special. And obviously, it's special in a number of ways. One of the ways is obviously we're celebrating Jesus' birth. And so welcome to everybody. I hope that you have a great time this morning as we celebrate and share this morning. And I have to say, the birth of any child is pretty exciting, isn't it? But actually, the birth of Jesus, it's really exciting because it changed the world. Whatever anybody thinks about Jesus, it changed the world. And let's just sing and celebrate together. Let's just pray, and then you guys. Father, we just thank you that we're able to come this morning and just celebrate Christmas and enjoy this time together. Help us to be able to come close to you, to be able to reach out to you, and to be blessed and encouraged. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a story. Yeah. Here you are. And Rosie's going to tell us. And it's from a book called Jesus Storybook. And it's called He's Here. Yeah? You okay?
Right. Can you hear me? Yes, good. It's okay.
You're
right. Are you listening? Because I need you to listen really carefully. And are you sitting comfortably? Yes? Then I'll begin. Oops. Oh, that's not good. Put it under there. Okay. Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people, just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down. Seas would have roared, trees would have clapped their hands, but the earth held its breath. As silent as snow was falling, he came in, and when no one was looking in the darkness, he came. There was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now Joseph was the great, 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 great grandson of King David. One morning, this girl was minding her own business when suddenly a great warrior of light appeared right there in her bedroom. He was Gabriel, and he was an angel and a special messenger from heaven. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, there he is, look, so you can see the pictures, those of you who like pictures. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened. You don't need to be scared, Gabriel said. God is very happy with you. Mary looked around to see if perhaps he was talking to someone else. Mary, Gabriel said, and he laughed with such gladness that Mary's eyes filled with sudden tears. Mary, you're going to have a baby, a little boy. You will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. He is the one, the rescuer. The God who flung planets into space and kept them whirling around and around. The God who made the universe with just a word. The one who could do anything at all was making himself small and coming down as a baby. Wait, God. God was sending a baby to rescue the world? But it's too wonderful, Mary said, and felt her heart beating hard. How can it be true? Is anything too wonderful for God? Gabriel asked. So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed. I am God's servant, she said. Whatever God says, I will do. Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now, Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the town, they found every room was full. Every bed was taken. There they are, travelling to Bethlehem. Go away, the innkeepers told them. There isn't any place for you. Where would they stay? Soon Mary's baby would come. They couldn't find anywhere except an old tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and donkeys and horses stayed. And there, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his beautiful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us, because he was.
It's a bit of a simple question, but might have different answers. And it's okay, whatever answer you give, there's no right or wrong answer. Okay? What's good about Christmas? Okay? And Wendy's going to come round. Yeah? And just see what your answers are. What's good about Christmas?
Family.
Family, good, yeah.
Am I on? Yes.
Having my sons at home with me.
Yeah. Having the sons at home. That would be a bit of a surprise for us because we haven't got any of them.
Turkey.
Turkey.
Absolutely. Turkey.
I would say family and bread sauce.
Family and what?
Bread sauce.
Bread sauce.
Time off and family and friends.
Yeah, time off as well.
Friends as well.
Friends is definitely, friends and family are definitely voting high.
Time to think.
That's a good one. Time to think. Yeah, food. Absolutely.
Just all the food.
Time off and presents?
Presents, yeah.
Santa.
Mulled wine, mince pies, Christmas pudding, Christmas cake.
That's Chris through and through. I'm going to come down here now. What's good about Christmas for you, Peter?
The birth.
Of well Jesus, would that be?
Time off.
Time off is important, isn't it?
Me giving my family presents.
Me giving my family presents.
Yeah,
that's
lovely.
Such a lovely thing,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything
else here?
That's good.
Santa.
Yes. Add anything?
To be loved.
To be loved. That's an excellent set.
Anything to offer? Sorry, waving it around. You guys at the back, anything? Think you're good to go.
You can come. There's another question coming in a minute. If you just, I looked up and I thought, what does it mean to other people? And this one says, Christmas means fellowship, feasting, giving and receiving. And some of us do that, one of those better than others sometimes. A time of good cheer and being at home, or being at home. And it's like at home, isn't it? He was actually quite a famous, he ran a college in the United States, and they reckon in his write-up that he actually changed the college, and it actually made a huge difference. And I just thought, that's quite an incredible saying that he's put down. This is another lady, and this is her view of Christmas. It's the tenderness of the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future. And I can actually add to that, because it actually, the saying went on a little bit further. It is a fervent wish that every cup may overflow with blessings rich and eternal, and that every path may lead to peace. That's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? And that lady, there's not actually a lot written about her, but they reckon that she made a huge difference with all the things she wrote and the stuff that she actually put out. And then the last one I looked up was this. Helen Keller. The only blind person at Christmas time is he who has not got Christmas in his heart. The phrase means even more when you realise that this lady was deaf and blind. And she was the first lady that went to college and got a degree. Or with the help of somebody else. What an amazing lady. And then when you think about that, this lady's deaf and blind, and then she's able to say, the only blind person at Christmas time is he who has not got Christmas in his heart. I thought that was pretty incredible, isn't it? It is something about the heart, isn't it? There's something about Jesus that changes our heart. You're up again, Wend. Yeah, this is final time. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, you all have different thoughts about who you've that is. Has anybody got an answer to
you've
that?
You've got a thought on that. Just raise your hand rather than me come round.
Who do you think? Oh, there, Phoebe, go for it.
God.
Wow, good answer. Thank you, Phoebe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've just gone to the top of the theological class here. Anybody else? Who do you say Jesus is? Go for it, Phil.
I was going to say God as well. So.
You were going to say God as well? Yeah. Bob.
The Messiah?
The Messiah. Absolutely.
He's my lover.
He's my lover. He's my lover. Not a truer word spoken.
He's my saviour and friend.
He's my saviour and friend. And somehow they don't seem to be that they should go in the same sentence, does it? Somebody who is the saviour that changes things, and yet he can be as close as my friend, my lover. These are some words that describe Jesus. And there are all sorts of words. And if I sent you away and said, come back next week, you'd have lots of words how you would describe Jesus. And actually, in a way, I want you to do that. Think about it, because sometimes, like Bill said, it's a time to reflect, isn't it, I think, at Christmas. It's time just to have that time to think about what does it really mean to know Jesus? What does it really mean to have Jesus as our Saviour? When Jesus said this in Matthew 16, he said, Jesus asked the question of the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That was quite a revelation, really, to actually understand and actually be able to say that and voice it. And I think probably a bit scary, because actually it's this sort of thing, well, he's changing our lives, but what does it really mean? Who is he really? We've been following this series, haven't we? When Love Came Down. Jesus is God's way of showing his love to his people. I'll just say that again. Jesus is God's way of showing his love to his people. I thought about that because God sent his son Jesus. And if you think about that, if you send somebody away, your son, daughter, brother, sister, whoever, that's actually quite a big thing. I remember when our girls went off to college, off to university, which was the right thing for them to do, but when they went, we weren't at home going, "Yes!" No, well, we might have done occasionally, but it was more, actually, we really missed them. We were actually a bit heartbroken because they've gone. So you imagine God saying, "It's okay, I'll send my son away," which is what he did. How much that cost him. It cost us quite a lot. We knew it was the right thing for our girls, but I remembered, I can still picture it now, being at church, blubbing in the middle of the service because I just couldn't get the hand on that they'd gone away. How much that means. It's a huge thing. And yet, it's even more than that, because God knew as he's sending Jesus, he's sending him because he loves us, and he knew what was going to happen to him. So it's not like us sending our girls off. One went to Leamington. No, he didn't. They went to Worcester and Liverpool. That's where they live now. Which wasn't a million miles away. But we actually knew what they were doing. Think about what Jesus, he knew what was going to happen to him. And that was a life that was going to end in quite a tragic ending. And I was thinking about how much God has done for us in that sense of what he's done. I thought, one of the amazing gifts that we can give at Christmas time is just to say to each other, "I love you." Because that's what God's done. He's come down and he's a part of us. He's brought his love into this world that has changed this world forever. And we've talked about family, haven't we? And how important that is at Christmas time. And God's saying, share that love, share God's love. And to say to each other, "Actually, I really appreciate you. I love you." And that we've done lots of hugs this morning. And we've done the shoulder hug for the less huggy people and the proper hug for the others and the shaking hands people that we haven't seen forever. But it's actually showing God's love. So we might do it in words, we might do it physically. But that's what God did. He came down to change everything so that we might have a real change. There's two scriptures I just want to end with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us that much that he gave his Son to us so he could walk with us, be a friend. We use that phrase, lover. That's how much God loves us, that he sent his Son to love us, to live with us. Now that's pretty amazing love, isn't it? I thought this slide was cool. It cuts to the chase, the most important part of this scripture, because if you look it up, there's quite a few words in between. But that isn't it, what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus being the love for us, for the world. And we need to believe in love. It's interesting when you do things, when you do it in a loving way, doesn't it take so much longer? That's my experience. We can actually push through and tread on people and create havoc much quicker than actually trying to do it in a loving way. But actually believing in love will change things. How do I know? Because Jesus came 2,000 years ago and he has changed things forever. And I was just thinking, we need to thank Jesus for all the love that he's given us, the difference that he's made to us, and the difference he makes to us at this time of year as we stop and think about it. Let's just pray. Father, I pray that we have an amazing Christmas. Father, I pray that we might understand afresh the love you have for us, the love that you've shown us through your Son Jesus. Jesus who led a life of love. Father, I just thank you for your amazing blessing, your amazing love, your amazing heart for each one of us. That you are our friend, that you are our lover, that you are the one that makes the difference. Thank you, Jesus. You changed everything when you came down to be with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.